Jesus' style, Jesus' style of Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 is where we'll be. All right, so we're going to talk about love today, and I'm Googling funny love stories to find an opening illustration for the message. And I ran across this account. Young lady writes, I'm playing Grand Theft Auto 5, and my boyfriend is watching me. I'm running across the road and a car hits me. I proceed to pull out the driver, beat him to death, then pour gasoline over him and his car and light them both on fire. Nice girl. Nice game. Oh, whatever happened to Mario Kart or Pac-Man? Or taking a walk in the park holding hands. I guess dating has changed since my day. I have a friend who, when his son was dating the young lady that's now his wife, they would come over to the house and they would each have their own separate laptop and they would be playing a game together. They were on a team from people from all around the world. They were in some kind of a patrol or army thing and they were attacking or being attacked and bombs and, you know. What happened to going out to the movies? I guess it's cheaper than a movie. Perhaps we have a lot of trouble loving strangers, let alone enemies, because we scarcely know how to love the people we love. Perhaps we have a lot of trouble loving strangers, let alone enemies, because we scarcely know how to love the people we love. Father, help us today. I pray that there would be a revelation fit for each one of us. A different one, but that you would speak into our hearts and lives and help us, God, adjust our attitudes, we pray. And we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. In the simplest of terms, we like to divide the world into two groups, friends and enemies. And I suppose we could squeeze a third group somewhere in the middle, those we have yet to categorize. We're unsure about them. Friends we love, enemies we hate. Friends we bless, enemies we curse. If we pull a prank on our friends, it's all in good fun. If it's on our enemies, we're hoping to cause them some kind of embarrassment, loss, shame, or pain. Jesus interrupts this whole natural order and gives us a new directive concerning our adversaries. In fact, concerning everybody. He says, we're to love all involved. Gives us two directives. Love them and pray for those who persecute you. Love and pray for those who persecute. I don't know about you, but I find this a very convicting verse. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We can label people enemies that have never done anything against us. We can just look at them and not like them. Ever happened to you? You never saw them before in your life. But there's just something about that guy I don't like. I don't know what it is, but give me a little bit of time. I'll come up with it. And of course, now that we're in the church and we know these verses, we use different terms. We don't hate people. You know, intentional. We try to spiritualize our language and justify, but we know in our heart of hearts, we just really don't like that guy. We don't care about them. We wish that they would go get lost somewhere. We just don't like the way they look. Or the team they cheer for. We're taking communion. I see Mike wore his Broncos shirt this morning, and I thought, oh, you poor guy. I had pity on him. God bless you. You keep hoping. Us Steelers fans know how you feel. We're hopeful for the future as well. It's always next year. The car they drive, the way they laugh. They get annoyed by the way somebody laughs or they snort while they laugh. Is that one to, yeah. Or who they vote for. I liked them until I found out. Did you know? I would have never guessed. We are so prissy. And we judge people. Everybody, we have this chart inside where we have everybody categorized. And for those that we really, really, really love, we'll put up with just about anything. Whether our kids or our grandkids. For those people we don't like very much, it doesn't matter what they say, we take it wrong. It's put on the bad chart. They said, I love you. Oh, yeah, like they really do, yeah. And, you know, we play around with that stuff. And we, as a society, are so thin-skinned anymore. We are more touchy than we've ever been to. I can say this as an old guy who's been on the planet for a while. We used to have a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You call somebody the wrong name today, you could go to jail. People will get violent over words spoken. It's just incredible. You might recall the incident from the last football season where the guy ripped off the helmet of the quarterback and whacked him with it once. What was his justification? He used a racial slur. And suddenly a lot of people, well, I can understand if that's what happened. A football helmet on a gun. I don't know if you saw the guy that wielded that, but he said something. Oh, no! Not that! And you know, I don't want to make light of anybody's sensitivities. And so I'm just saying, we are more thin-skinned. And I'm not just saying him or them, I'm saying us. We have to be very, very careful about terms. I think we've been taught to be thin-skinned. I think we've been taught to be divided. I think something has been afoot that has made us oppose one another so severely when we're really all in the same situation, in the same nation, of the same blood. And you should recognize it as the work of the enemy and know that he's been trying to work in you. The kingdom cannot afford for us to be picky, prejudiced, and dislike others. The kingdom is people-minded. What is the business of the kingdom? It's people. God even said, you can't say you love me if you don't love your brothers and sisters who you can see. He said, no, don't say that. Don't come and say you love me when you got aught against my other sons and daughters. It doesn't work like that. Go get it worked out and then come back. Jesus tacks on to all the people that we just don't like. Those we really have a reason not to like. Those who have done things that are hurtful toward us. He said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Persecution is an action. They did something to offend you, whether it was just felt or it was physical, it was real. love and pray for those who persecute you. Whenever my mom would give my dad a hard time, he would say, "My persecutor's on me." You know? What did I do? My persecutor's on me. But persecution is a particular kind of affront. Here's how it's defined in the dictionary. Persecution is hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race, political, or religious beliefs, and persecution is persistent annoyance or harassment. That's how it comes across. Persistent annoyance or harassment. Have you ever annoyed somebody? You can just tell when you walk in the room, they are annoyed at you. You can do it. You try to make nice with them. Take them a chocolate-covered peanut butter egg, whatever you do, and they just, you can just tell. It's like oil and water. You're not really mixing with them. Persistent annoyance or harassment. Someone persistently treats you bad because of something about yourself you cannot or will not change. Let me read that again. Someone persistently treats you bad because of something about yourself you cannot or will not change. They don't like the shape of your nose. They don't like the way you laugh. They don't like the way you walk. They hate your kind. It's not just you. You have been put in a category. You have been put in a group. You represent a group to them. And all of the past errors or sins or mistakes made by anybody in that kind in that group are going to fall on you because you fit in that category. We all are familiar with being categorized as a Christian. Oh, you're one of them. And if they ever had a bad church experience, you're responsible for that. If they ever had a difficult thing with their faith, I asked God to do this and he would not. In fact, this happened, now explain that to me. You're asked to explain on behalf of God. I guess you look like him or something. You are grouped. They hate your kind. And you will bear the responsibility for all the atrocities someone like you has ever perpetrated against them or against humanity. You're a type, a symbol, a representative of what they hate. He that does not love, the Bible says, does not know God, for God is love. So what I was just describing here, that's not a Christian. That's not part of who we are supposed to be. Love is of God. And if you don't love, you're not from God. You're in very dangerous water when you choose to persist in hatred. Somebody might even point out to you, you know, you shouldn't feel that way, you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't. Yeah, well, when you defend yourself and you back it up, you're just getting in deeper. The wheels are just digging into the mud. You're going to get stuck there. Verse 45 again. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. Not that you may look like children of your Father in heaven. Not that you might act like children of your Father in heaven. But that you might be children of your Father in heaven. This is the family resemblance. One of the nicest compliments I ever received in life is somebody saying, "You're just like your father. You're just like your father." Even if it wasn't a good point of dad, it still made me feel good that I was identified with him. And the highest compliment you can give a believer, "You're just like your father." Yeah, that's what Jesus would say, isn't it? You're just like your older brother in the faith. So this is one of those acid tests to see what you're really made of. Real children of God love everyone. it should be noticed about you. And pray for those who persecute you. This is really sheer divine genius on God's part. As you pray for those who have persecuted you, you invite God's perspective into your life. It would, because it's a little bit like you're having Brussels sprouts tonight. I don't like Brussels sprouts. I don't like this stinky little. Lord, if I'm going to eat Brussels sprouts, I need your help. And he whispers in your ear, cheddar cheese sauce. And what? Hallelujah. We have had a word from God this morning. Bacon. Bacon cures me. But Lord, I want to love him because you want me to love him. But I can't. I just can't. Can't do it. And then the Lord begins to work in it. Because if you understand, God loves them. You have to accept that. You have to accept that. That's the word of God. God loves that person. And you say, I don't know how, God. Father, I have no idea. How in the world do you love that person? And he'll start to show you. He will start to unfold it for you. And you start becoming more like your father. You start thinking more like he thinks. You can't love your enemies on your own. You need divine intervention. But you're not just praying for you to love them. You are praying for them. God, help them, please. They are so annoying. Would you help them to get a clue, to learn, to grow, to be blessed in their life? You're praying not that they drop dead, but that they come to life. That God will help them around all of the edges. To love and pray for our enemies are commands from the Lord. So to disobey that command is to be insubordinate. No, Lord, I'm not. No, I'm not. And I think people, they've been honest, they just said, you know, well, anybody else but. I just, you know, I can't. I'm sorry, but I won't. Is the truth of love. Friend, you're standing in a very, very dangerous place. The scriptures still say that you will not be forgiven if you do not forgive everybody else from your heart. Oh, well, I forgive them. I just, nah. Get with God. Get his help. Get past it. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Your Heavenly Father loves everybody perfectly. So be like your Heavenly Father. Find out what he likes, his opinions, his actions. It's interesting to me that Matthew brings up the point of greeting. How you greet people. Even the pagans greet their friends warmly. Be careful. I am convinced that a lot of people have no clue what they look like when they're talking to other people. Even when they're walking through a room. Some people can walk through a room with such a look on their face that the rest of us just go, huh? Don't get in their way. Don't even say anything to them today. You know? They have threat. I'm sure they have no clue. And they probably go, I don't know why, but nobody would talk to me today. Well, that's all. I have no clue. No. In fact, a couple of people left the room, so he's like, oh. First words, greetings. Think about how you look. Maybe take a little mirror along with your practice, you know. Practice looking pleasant. And smile. And, you know, greet people like they matter to you. Like you, I love the little line in scripture. him and loved him. I think that was something Jesus did as a habit. He would look at them and just give it a moment. Before he had interaction with the person, give it a moment. Let me adjust my attitude. Because my first thought was, I don't like you. So I need to adjust this attitude. Oh, okay, good. Whew. All right, I'm ready now. Now we can interact. I care about you. If you're like me at all, I'm often preoccupied in my thinking. We're a couple minutes into our conversation before I realize you're even talking. And I'm trying to think, what are we talking about? I need to catch up here so that I can, you know, but my mind's been somewhere else. But if you lead with love, that won't happen. I care about you. What's going on in your life? If you can bring up to them the last thing you guys talked about, I told you last week about there's a progression going on. Come out from racquetball the one Saturday. Dave's daughter is just coming out of rehab. Hey, would you pray for her? Let's pray now. The guy books out of the room while the two of us are praying. The next week, it's just me and the guy that booked out of the room. He's talking about he's going to the doctor for his thumb. And I said, and we're the only two left. So I said, can I pray for you? Yeah, so I prayed for him. Yesterday, we were full of guys, but I was able to say to him, what did the doctor say about your thumb? You could tell it left an impression on the man's soul. Hey, this guy remembered, you know. He told me more than I wanted to know, but, you know, that's just what you deal with when you try loving people. And look at him. And hope he's not listening online, but this is one of the guys I really care for, you know. But put scripture to practice and talking to him. As I learned his story, as I talked to him more, it's amazing how his stock rose in my heart. And I care about him now. That's why I ask and so on. And this stuff works. Love the people around you. Followers of Jesus greet others warmly, regardless of relationship. Whether they've known you for a long time or not, you need to learn how to greet well. Because you remind yourself, oh yeah, I love this person. I may have never met him before, but I love this person. And this is how I want to proceed from here. God is inviting you to have a heart like his, and that's an incredible offer. It doesn't come natural, but he will give it to you. He will teach you that. He will install the hardware, and then he'll teach you how to use the software, if that makes sense. He'll make it possible, and then he'll teach you along the way. And then he'll give you obstacles. He'll say, well, no, it doesn't work on that. Yes, it does. Just give it some time, and I'll show you how. And you stick with it, and God will help you. Don't justify ill attitudes. Repent of them. Don't keep saying, well, this is why. When you're wrong, you're wrong. There have been some people who have irritated me, and I know that it's not wrong for me to not like them, and so we just go to work on it. God, I need your help. I really don't. Could you please help? And he does. He does. He works us through. But just as long as you cover it up, as long as you make excuses, well, you're not going to get there. But if you own it, he will help you to move forward. Just do it. Stop dragging your feet, making excuses, and delaying the inevitable. Just go ahead and start loving them. God's going to get you there. Go to whatever you need to face and make things right. Get along with them, talk, have that conversation, or it's going to be awkward, just that's all right. Trust God, and even if the first meeting doesn't go well, trust God. Lord, give me another opportunity. Put us in the same place together. Somehow work this out. Bring us face to face until we get this right. And God will bless you through that. Let go of whatever malice or bitterness or prejudice you have stored up in your heart. Stop allowing yourself to say unkind or sarcastic words about them behind their back. Change the pattern of your thinking about whoever you may be carrying a chip against. Some of us older ones remember a chip on your shoulder. It used to be a thing. Somebody would put a chip of wood on their shoulder and say, I dare you to knock that off. I knew you weren't. And it's you know, they reach over to not, they leave themselves open. And so, you know, are you mad enough to knock that You shouldn't have a chip on your shoulder. Sometimes I find I've got a chip on my shoulder. Sometimes somebody will point out to me that I have a chip on my shoulder. Then I have a chip on my shoulder. When does that person tell me I have a chip on my shoulder? Who are you to tell me? And careful with those. Stop carrying the chips on your shoulders, waiting for others to offend you so you can feel your ill feelings. Well, did you hear what they said? Yeah, I didn't. Oh, well, this is what they meant. I didn't. Okay. And stop adding fuel to the fire in your heart. Verse 46 implies there will be a reward in loving those that don't love you. And part of that reward we've already mentioned, you'll become children of your Heavenly Father. You'll become a better person. When you become scared at loving unloving people, unlovely people, you'll be like your Father in heaven. It's actually a good thing you haven't loved everyone yet, because now you can chart your progress. Maybe there's even a name in your mind right now. Where you're, shut up, preacher. Good. You've got some. Woo-hoo! You got a target. This is practice now. And you can start with grace even this morning. It's good if someone is persecuting you, so you can practice loving and praying for them. You can even tell them that. Man, I'm so fortunate you're so annoying. I just heard a sermon on Sunday, and it applies to you like nobody else. You may not want to use those words. But it will test you. Who is our great intercessor? God be Jesus. He intercedes for us. Do we deserve that? I think we just went over that in communion. No. So he interceded for us when we were enemies of God. He came after us. Now, if we're going to be like him, what are we going to do? We're going to start interceding for the people we don't like, that are enemies of ours, that have pushed against us. And Lord, I pray, I bring them before you. We bear their sins to the cross as if they're our own. Not holding it against them, but interceding for them. This sermon, we're actually going back to our series on discipleship. And in this book, Follow, the authors write, there's great freedom in rising above our hurts to love others. Usually when we don't like somebody, they hurt us on some level. There's annoyance, but there's also hurt. Well, did you see what they did to me? I had a chance at a promotion, and they cut it right out from under me. I was due this commission, and they cheated me out of it. Did you see what they did? Rise above the hurt. They caution us that this kind of love isn't born out of our feelings, but out of action. I can't automatically feel like I like them. I love them. I obey God. God said, go love them. I love you. And what that means is I'm going to treat you as if I love you until the feelings come. Loving someone does not necessarily mean that you do what they want you to do. But you act loving toward them. This is not a cover for abuse. Well, I have to put up with it. No, you don't have to put up with abuse. You don't have to put up with ignorant things. You can call them on it in love. A lot of times we're being offended. They don't know we're being offended, and we think we're being a real good Christian by not saying anything about it. No. You have to be honest and tell them, you know what? When you say that, this is what it feels like. This is what it's doing to me inside. And they may not get it, they may not value it or whatever, but you will be freeing yourself by letting them know. No, I don't want to be treated that way. You shouldn't treat other people that way. This is how it comes across. I hate to tell you this, but when you walk through the room with a look like that on your face, you really put other people off. What look? I was smiling. No, you were growling. There's a difference. And Well, and I think a large problem that we, I mean, a large problem I have, I'm just not honest with people. I'm smiling and nodding and looking in agreement, and I'm not agreeing with them at all. There are ways of speaking the truth in love. Praying for my enemies is an action of my obedience until it gets into my heart. You start praying for a person and I challenge you. You sincerely pray for them. I dare you to keep hating them. It will change your heart. It will change your life. Ask God to guide you as you pray for them. You may even start finding yourself having compassion for them and genuinely loving them and caring about them. Would you stand with me this morning? Create in me a clean heart.